Blog Talk Radio.
I mean, it ain't easy, you know. I mean, I do appreciate. I'll take any applause I can get from any member of an audience that I can possibly attract. Sometimes it's only one or two, and we'll take it. We'll take no respect. You know what I'm saying? None. Hey, folks, how you doing? This is the Coast to Coast Show, the Ebony and Ivory program. I am. Let me look here. God darn, sorry, it's being me here. I'm Andy Kimball. There it goes. It says right there. Says I'm Andy Kimball, and we have. We have Lloyd Booker. How you doing, Lloyd? You on the show here? You're with us today? I thought he was.
I thought he was.
Wake up. Wake up.
Beep, 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 beep. He's eating those hot dogs again.
Lloyd, wake up. Anyway, that is Amanda. that pretty voice you're hearing certainly isn't mine. I'm sure you much prefer her than mine anyway. That's Amanda. She's sitting high atop the London Tower in the UK there.
Hello, and, my lovelies.
Here we go. And then we have Cornell Butler, who's our producer of the show, making things work in that end of our programming. And he's back in Pennsylvania. And Lloyd's, I think he's just ignoring us. All right. Anyway, how we doing, folks? You know, a couple things happened today we're going to get started with, which are kind of interest. The one thing is, first of all, Bob Woodward. Everybody remember All the President's Men, Richard Nixon, and Watergate, and Woodward and Bernstein, and that whole episode?
Yeah.
Bob Woodward came out with a book based on interviews, recorded interviews on the record with Richard Nixon. Nope, wrong president. I'm sorry. With Donald Trump. There we go. With Donald Trump, a new book. And that book is very revealing, and it was on the record. Therefore, Bob Woodward had permission to record a lot of those interviews, and he published them in a book. Let's take a listen to what Andrea Mitchell had to say. This is actually her guest, Robert Costa, on NBC, commenting about Bob Woodward's book. Here we go.
Well, my colleague Phil Rucker and I for the Washington Post have read Bob Woodward's new book. It's called Rage. And it has an enormous amount of information based on more than a dozen interviews Bob Woodward conducted with President Trump from December 2019 through July of 2020. And if you read our article that just posted on WashingtonPost.com, we lead with a meeting in January of 2020 where Robert O'Brien, the National Security Advisor, and Matt Pottinger, the Deputy National Security Advisor, told President Trump in late January that the coronavirus threat was the biggest threat, the gravest threat that President Trump would ever face in his presidency. And then a few days later, in early February, President Trump speaks with Bob Woodward on the phone, on the record. And to be clear, the Washington Post, through Woodward, has acquired tapes of President Trump speaking about all this, these interviews with Woodward, and Woodward has decided to publish the tapes. And in this early February call, February 7th, the president says on the phone to Woodward that the virus is deadly. He repeats, it's deadly. He also says it's airborne. It's spread through the air. And so he acknowledges how deep and serious the threat of the coronavirus is in early February on tape. But it's not until weeks later, of course, as we all know, that the national shutdown of businesses really commences. And so you see through Woodward's reporting an awareness on President Trump's part of how serious this threat was. And he also says in another interview in March with Bob Woodward that he deliberately played down the threat of the virus. He said he wanted to avoid a panic. It's a long book, very detailed, based on interviews about inside the North Korea situation, the so-called love letters between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. Woodward has copies of what Kim Jong-un has sent to President Trump. There's also a lot of detail in the book about former Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats. Coates, through different reporting methods of Woodward, you really see inside of Coates' world, his criticism of President Trump, his deep concerns about the country's future, concerns about from General Mattis and others. I'll leave it there for now.
This should be an interesting read, to say the least. An interesting read.
Yeah.
And if, especially, you know, you heard what's in the book. And I think Lloyd is with us now. Lloyd, you there? You join us? Are you on here?
Yeah,
on board?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, what's happening? We're still working out the kinks, people, but I was on earlier. But let me say this right quick. I want to make sure that we, meaning the rest of the group here, the Coast to Coast and Andy Kimball crew, and everybody that's listening, did that man say love letters between Kim Jong-un, I guess that's how you pronounce it. I don't know if it's Ung or Il. Kim Jong-il or Ung. And can you hear me?
Yes.
He said love letters between him and Donald Trump. Is that what is? Do you need to play that again, just so I make sure? Because that wasn't the first thing I was going to mention. But I want play that again. I want to make sure I got that right now.
Play it again, in case you missed it, folks. This is Robert Costa, courtesy of NBC on the Andrea Mitchell Show, and his comment. We'll play it again. His comment on the Bob Woodward book, which is going to depict recorded conversations between Bob Woodward and Donald Trump. Here we go. Second time around.
Especially that part. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, my colleague Phil Rucker and I for the Washington Post have read Bob Woodward's new book. It's called Rage, and it has an enormous amount of information based on more than a dozen interviews Bob Woodward conducted with President Trump from December 2019 through July of 2020. And if you read our article that just posted on WashingtonPost.com, we lead with a meeting in January of 2020 where Robert O'Brien, the National Security Advisor, and Matt Pottinger, the Deputy National Security Advisor, told President Trump in late January that the coronavirus threat was the biggest threat, the gravest threat that President Trump would ever face in his presidency. And then a few days later, in early February.
So we're hearing is January was when Donald Trump was notified about the potential of this coronavirus.
Okay, good. I want to hear that comment. Okay.
These interviews with Woodward, and Woodward has decided to publish the tapes. And in this early February call, February 7th, the president says on the phone to Woodward that the virus is deadly. He repeats, it's deadly. He also says it's airborne, it's spread through the air. And so he acknowledges how deep and serious the threat of the coronavirus is in early February on tape. But it's not until weeks later, of course, as we all know, that the national shutdown of businesses really commences. And so you see through Woodward's reporting an awareness on President Trump's part of how serious this threat was. And he also says in another interview in March with Bob Woodward that he deliberately played down the threat of the virus. He said he wanted to avoid a panic. It's a long book, very detailed, based on interviews about inside the North Korea situation, the so-called love letters between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. Woodward has copies of what Kim Jong-un has sent to President Trump. There's also a lot of detail in the book about...
Stop it!
Yeah. Yeah, he did say that. He did say that. You heard it. You wanted it.
Okay,
you got it.
Okay, good. Now, see, you guys aren't going to touch it. Y'all need to say something about this because here we go. See, that's why I want to talk. Can you hear? Can everybody hear me? Is that static?
Yep.
Okay. You guys can hear me. I know you can hear me, Andy. Can Amanda and Cornell hear me?
I can email them.
See, that's why I want to party with. I don't want him to be president, but that's why I want to party with that dude. Because he didn't took some of that attitude when he hung around Mike Tyson down in Atlantic City, and he in love. Everybody done heard it. Now he in love with Kim Jong Il or Kim Jong Un, and they doing the There you go. You know what? whatever it is that he's doing at the White House, I want to be invited. I don't favor him, but I knew that I heard that right. So there you go. Love letters. I want to see what some love letters is like. See, that's why he didn't want to say anything about the virus. Why? Because he's in love with Kim Jong-un. They were doing the Kim Jong-un. That's what they were doing. And now, don't laugh. Wait a minute. I know everybody laughing now. But, see, you can't fake this, man. We get real factual stuff on here. And for those of you that want to call in, the numbers is 515-605-9888. And you on here, the Andy Kimball, Lloyd Booker Show, Coast to Coast, Ebony and Ivory, with Amanda Love from London and Cornell Butler in Philadelphia. And believe it or not, our president is in love. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So he would come out for the LGBTQ community. What'd you say, Amanda?
I wonder how they'd feel about him, darling.
You know what? They probably don't like him because of what he's done. But now they got a kindred spirit coming out the closet now, because he's been made to come out the closet because they done reported on him in love. He ain't in love with an American. He ain't in love with an American man or woman. He in love with somebody that supposedly is supposed to be against this country. What's wrong? You know what? See, love makes the world go round. And believe it or not, however bad we think about Trump, he gonna come out. See, he gonna change, Andy. He gonna change in between now and November the 3rd. He gonna say he love everybody. He loves everybody.
He's been coming out with some crazy remarks as well, hasn't he, recently, about, you know, the forces and things. And it almost appears like that's excusable just because his daughter said, oh, I know he's not good saying the right things. That's not excusable.
See, I am so glad that you said, and I don't want the cat to get anybody's tongue. I am so glad you said it because maybe, and I heard that, maybe he was letting us know, you know, through his daughter, that, you know, maybe he's going to try to pull back some of this stuff that he's been talking about. And that starts now with the report that came out that he's in love with Kim Jong. See, I know these people want to hurt me. If you see me on the street and you hear my voice, don't be picking up nothing to do any damage to me because I didn't say it.
The great Elvis. Yeah. I'm in love and I'm all shook up.
Thank you.
Sing it.
I love that you said that. Say it again. Say it again.
I'm in love and I'm all shook up.
God, he sings too.
There you go. You heard him. That was Cornell. That was Cornell Butler.
We got a sponsor here. We're gonna come right back after this commercial message. We will be right back.
Hi again. This is Lloyd Booker, co-host of the Andy Kimball and Lloyd Booker Show, Coast to Coast, Ebony and Ivory. And the other day, I was having a discussion. I was rapping with my man, Snoop Doggy Dogg, and also photographer to the stars, Brian Wells of Togo Coffee in Seattle. And we were discussing riots, the coronavirus, unemployment, our economy, and our vets returning back with PTSD. When Brian shared with us that he was suffering from chronic neck pain and also headaches as well as blurred vision, and he couldn't sleep. So myself and also Snoop Doggy Dogg rapped to him and told him, listen, you need to go to see Uncle Ike. Why? Because Uncle Ike can take care of all of your THC and CBD needs. He also handles situations with stress, sleep deprivation, certain types of epilepsy, chronic pain, certain drug and alcohol dependencies, and also can alleviate the pain that might be caused by certain illnesses and MS. Go to Uncle Ike's, 5 locations in Seattle, and you can also go to Ike's.com. Again, Uncle Ike's serves those that serve us.
Uncle Ike's.
Sounds
yes.
Great.
Wow.
I like Uncle Ike.
Yeah.
I like Uncle Ike.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
We all
like Uncle Ike.
We all like Uncle Ike.
There we go. You heard that, Ian. They all like Uncle Ike. You and also Uncle Big Ike that comes on the show.
Absolutely.
Boy, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. See, so those people that are out there thinking that only hippies and real cool people and musicians such as my co-host here, Andy Kimball, they're the only ones that dip and dab in the
Hey, don't forget about Cornell, the producer. I played his drum.
Okay, I'm sorry. Don't want to leave you out in Cornell. They're not the only cool people. We actually have situations where some of us that participate with the Weeds, so to speak. And by the way, there's a television program called Weeds. But it has medicinal purposes, and you can check everything out that was said on that commercial because it's the truth, Ruth. That's the fact, Jack. And I'm serious as a heart attack. So there you go. Hey, listen, by the way, Andy, check this out. Did you hear that one of our listeners that's probably going to also be maybe on the show, those individuals in Westport, Connecticut, let me give them a shout out, but get on this show. You talk to Andy or email us at the Andy, give them the email address.
It's the Andy and Lloyd Show at gmail.com.
Yeah, and my man Mike Stone and everybody at Lexus of Westport, Connecticut, get on and be fair and square. Get on the show. Let us know because you've been listening. I didn't know that. And even though my man has a Tesla, we all looking for a brand new Lexus. So
yeah.
I just want to make sure that – and they probably are. Gee whiz, they done mentioned us on the program. Yeah, so get on him. We're going to try – and by the way, one other thing before he says something to me, Cornell Dex Butler, our producer, will be giving you a call. So I'm going to put him on the spot right now. He's going to be giving you a call and trying to cement – don't. Hey, wait a minute, Andy, don't laugh. I got something for you too. He's going to be trying to cement that relationship with Lexus. We love to roll around in the new Lexus with a sign on there, and also you guys, you're getting free. Come on now, you got to work something out. You're getting free publicity.
Oh, you better believe it. You better. Yeah, we'll be talking to those guys. So we got to move on to news now, Lloyd. But let's. So what we were saying.
Get it. Drop it like it's hot.
Is that as we just heard from the Andrew Mitchell clip, is that Trump admitted to concealing the true threat of the coronavirus in this new Woodward book. And this was back in January, and we went in lockdown March 16th, and he knew about it. And the other fact of the matter is that we all know this, that Joe Biden and, of course, Barack Obama had a pandemic reaction, a watchdog group in place that Trump disbanded in 2018, long before this pandemic ever happened. But when Obama left the White House, and let's say Joe Biden left the White House, they had a pandemic watchdog group and a program in place along with healthcare program. They were both joined.
You guys can check out what he said. He's absolutely right.
All we do, folks, and again, I don't know how many times you said this. This is episode 49 shows, and I think every single episode, I want to reiterate, when we talk about something here, we don't just say, hey, here it is. It's based on something we fact check, we read, we look into, we research ourselves before we talk about it on the show. And anything that we don't is obviously done in jest and we have fun with and so forth. And you can tell when we do
that's
that.
That's right. And it's Cornell.
We have a lot of fun doing that, don't we? but this is a show where all we can do
blame
is
it on me.
Is voice our opinion regarding the fundamental and the foundation of the stories which we're talking about, which are fact-checked to be true. And we invite you, if we make a mistake, we're okay with it, you know, and we're people and we might make a mistake, although we try not to. But if we do, we want you to call us. And don't be shy, 515-605-9888. Anyway, what brought that up was the fact that that Donald Trump admitted to that knowing weeks before the first confirmed U.S. Coronavirus death occurred that the virus was dangerous, airborne, highly contagious, and more deadly than even the most dangerous strains of flu. And he was told that. He knew about it. And it's interesting enough because when you talk about that, when you talk about what we talked so much of on yesterday's show, which was his confirmed remarks disparaging remarks about our America's fallen heroes, and yet his base does not flutter. They do not alter. The state of Florida is right now tied in a dead heat, 48-48 between Trump and Biden. If the election were held today.
Hold it.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Florida, in the state of Florida, the most recent polls, confirmed polls all the way around, is show them in a dead heat. And we're not talking about within a margin of error. We're talking about the numbers of 48% each. And
wow.
I want the other two participants on this program to say something because I don't just want it to be us. That's what I said. It's just my thought. Has nothing to do with the other three people on here, but I am truly scared and worried because I tend to think that we're going to have something run amiss that we didn't think was possible, and this is going to be bad. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at those numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same, but I'm not surprised. This is dangerous, man. It is
dangerous. And, we always knew, we talked about on this show how things are going to tighten up before the conventions, which we spent, a week on each one covering in detail, both conventions. We did that, Republican and Democrat. And we talked about during those conventions how this was going to tighten up and not be a given. And despite what was going on, despite what was being said, despite Trump's record, despite his lack of vision for the next 4 years, it doesn't matter. Trump told Bob Woodward on February 7th regarding the coronavirus, this is deadly stuff, quote unquote. That's right out of the book. And that's recorded on tape. That's not just that's what he told me. Let me write it down. That is recorded on tape. He told Bob Woodward that.
I had somebody, I was talking to someone yesterday, and this is what they said. This is a friend of mine. Here in Philadelphia, I'm not going to go into too much because sometimes he wants things kept to himself or between us. Also, Cornell knows it. Let's just call him Al. And he said this. He said that however this goes, it seems to be now that there's a large segment on either side that there's going to be some problems. And I said, explain it to me. He said this. If he loses, there's going to be problems. If he wins, there's going to be problems.
Yeah.
So, right, you see the point? That's the point I'm trying to make, Amanda.
That's kind of scary. It seems like our country is divided.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. So he's damned if he do. Even if Biden does win, damned if he do, damned if he don't for either one of them, because there's too large of a faction, radical, on either side, and violent. So I just wanted to say that. So you guys need to say something.
In the series of interviews that Woodward conducted with Donald Trump, Trump did. And these were recorded interviews. These were on tape. That Trump revealed that he had a surprising level of detail about the threat of the virus earlier than it was ever previously known. Trump said, pretty amazing. And he added that the coronavirus was maybe five times more deadly than the flu. And Trump was told that. And then he'll go on to say, and Trump, during a press conference earlier today, did say that he commented that he was told, but what he wanted to avoid was putting the country into a panic. He wanted to play it down. He knew about it. He wanted to play it down. In the meantime, people were dying. Hundreds of 191,000 deaths now. 191,000 deaths. How do we not say that there's no blood on this guy's hands? How do people who support this man say there's no blood on his hands? He knew about it in January. What did he do in January? I don't care about him closing down the country in March, although it was great that he did. It wasn't enough. People were already dying. It was already here. It was already all over Europe by the time he did that.
Here's what he did. Here's what he did, and here's a little history. He did what Bush did when Bush was told that our towers were struck down. And both of them fell. You remember that? Because you can go to YouTube. He was at a school. He was in a preschool. And when the Secret Service whispered in his ear, "You have to," that's what he did. He did exactly that. And now, since I'm saying that, I want to ask a question, and this is for all of you. When did you first hear, especially you, because you just said something, Andy, you said all over Europe, Amanda,
yes.
When did you or your people first hear about this stuff?
Which stuff are you referring to,
month?
Sweetheart?
The coronavirus.
Yeah.
I think it was very early in March.
March?
And I think it was March, darling, because
Lord have mercy.
Time, I remember my father was dying of cancer, and the hospice that he was in were literally being very, very cautious about people coming in, and we had like the hand sanitizers and all the precautions in place at that point. And that was before we went into a serious lockdown.
Wait a minute, let me interrupt you just for 1 second. I want to say something, and maybe the other. First of all, may your father, God rest and bless his soul. And
thank you.
I
appreciate that.
You said that. I wouldn't go let that pass. Now,
thank you.
Please. Yeah, you're more than welcome for you and your mother and your family members. I'm sure you're greatly missed. Now let's go back. Now, you said March. We're in the same country. I'm talking about myself, Andy, and Cornell. Cornell, when did you hear about it?
Well, I'm in Mars, so I didn't really get the chance to hear about you.
I heard about it here in China in February.
It was February.
February.
Here's what I heard about. Well, wait a minute, hold it. Now, you heard about it in February. She heard about it in March.
I heard about it in March.
This is when I heard about it, because I was talking to, and he's in the commercial, Brian Wells. By the way, all of our commercials, everybody, is real. And so Brian Wells, photographer to the stars, and also an owner of coffee shops in Seattle. The reason Seattle is because Seattle has a very, very large Asiatic community. Matter of fact, that's the majority. I heard about it in January, but I heard about it. Yes, right. I heard about it through them. Because I was talking and I heard on the news. So I ended up calling him and I said, "Yo, man, I hear that you guys are going to be sick over there pretty soon." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I've been hearing it through the vine," meaning what I call it, like for black people, it could be the black net, but I call it the Asiatic net. Because they had already been, if Andy can attest to this. The people on the West Coast and in Seattle had the Asian community had already been wearing masks.
Yes,
they had been wearing. They wear them almost all of the time.
Yes,
so they had them in January, and and you mean to tell me that
I wore a mask? Wait. You know what? You said wear in January. I wore a mask in October. I mean, October 31st to be exact. I wore a mask.
You need to stop making fun of me.
Always take up mine off in October the 31st. So.
I take mine on and off frequently.
We got to move on to more stories before we leave this story for the next one.
Well, since all of you got masks on, I'm gonna do a little promo here, superhero promo, and you can put the music behind me.
Uh-oh.
I'm not Spider-Man. I'm not Batman. I'm not Superman. I'm not Aquaman. I'm not The Flash. I'm Black Man. There you go. So
I like it.
That was my mask. I went around as Black Man.
I want to encourage our readers to pick up that book. I'm sure it's going to be on the New York Times bestseller list very soon. Trump did say in the book, before we move on here, and we'll probably touch this again as the book becomes more widely read and commented upon, we'll probably have additional comment on the book as well and to what he said and who the real Donald Trump is. Donald Trump said in the book that to keep our country safe was really his main job, and he knew how deadly the virus was, and in March admitted he kept the knowledge hidden from the public. He said this, Trump, "I wanted to always play it down," he told that to Bob Woodward on March 19th. even as he declared a national emergency over the virus days earlier, he said and continued, "I still like playing it down because I don't want to create a panic." Well, there's 191,000 people dead. There's 191,000 families. I don't know how many people are affected by that. So,
I think the numbers that they talked about, we're going to exceed, and this is bad.
Yep.
And we're going to exceed 300,000 people in this country by the time the end
of
the year gets here.
I heard the same thing. And I want, you know, please call us and comment if you'd like to, 515-605-9888. Our chat room is also open on the website, and you can email us at andyandlloydshow@gmail.com. A lot of other things to talk about today. Trump also gave an address where he talked about if Biden wins, we're going to have the Second Amendment taken away from the Constitution, that the In God We Trust will be removed from the coins. There'll be chaos through the streets, and only Trump can be trusted to appoint appropriate judges. As a matter of fact, speaking of appropriate judges, let's see what Trump had to say. Or let's not. Anyway, yeah.
Oh, that's what he had to say.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe just stay silent.
First list. Of highly qualified candidates and promised to fill Justice Scalia's vacant seat from among those names. And just days after my inauguration, I kept that promise when I nominated Judge Neil Gorsuch. And as you know, he has been very spectacular.
Order in the court. Mr. Moe, you're accused of assaulting your two roommates with intent to commit mayhem.
You mean murder?
Yeah, and he tried to kill us, too.
Quiet!
A year later, I nominated and the Senate confirmed another outstanding justice, Brett Kavanaugh. By the end of my first term, we will have confirmed a record number of federal judges, over 300, all of whom will faithfully uphold our Constitution as written. What has always made America exceptional is our reverence for the impartial rule of law. People have come from all over the world to pursue the American dream based on this sacred principle. Equality under the law is the bedrock of our society. It is the principle that inspired American heroes to abolish slavery and end segregation, secure civil rights, and build the most free and just nation in history. Unfortunately, there is a growing radical left movement that rejects the principle of equal treatment under the law. If this extreme movement is granted a majority on the Supreme Court, it will fundamentally transform America without a single vote of Congress. Radical justices will erase the Second Amendment, silence political speech, and require taxpayers to fund extreme late-term abortion. They will give unelected bureaucrats the power to destroy millions of American jobs. They will remove the words "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. They will unilaterally declare the death penalty unconstitutional, even for the most depraved mass murderers. They will erase national borders, cripple police departments, and grant new protections to anarchists, rioters, violent criminals, and terrorists. In the recent past, many of our most treasured freedoms, including religious liberty, free speech, and the right to keep and bear arms, have been saved by a single vote on the United States Supreme Court. Our chair.
Yes.
Wow.
Go ahead. Somebody else say something.
Sorry, I was going to say, you know, I had no idea that Trump was psychic, you know, to be able to predict the future like that. Wow.
He's what you call Nostradamus. He's another Nostradamus.
I can't, you know what? I don't know if you, well, we can't use you, Amanda, because you're not in the public school system here. But when was the last time, and you can't count me or Andy. Andy is old as the hills. We're going to use Cornell for a minute. And for those of us that have kids, well, Andy have kids, when was the last time anybody even said the Pledge of Allegiance in school?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Case closed. Now,
I think I stopped when I was in middle school.
For me, it was right after the big one, WW2.
See, and he's firing all these people up like we're going to change. We don't even say Amanda, we don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. I pledge of allegiance
right.
to the flag of the United. We don't say that anymore. They don't say that anymore in school.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Like I said, he's on some other level crap or something like that. He got some of that special CIA, FBI stuff that he's smoking or something like that that make him think all of this stuff up. Next thing I know, he going to say that we being overrun by zombies or something like that, and people be believing it.
I was going to say, people probably would. Do you remember there was a thing going back where they did an online survey to the U.S. public asking if they would be prepared and fear a zombie apocalypse thing, and they actually believed it was
a
possibility.
Hold that point. Andy, she's not joking. I don't know how this comes into my head. This from dealing with y'all. Andy, she's not joking. You probably didn't see that, did you?
Nope.
And neither did you, Cornell.
No.
Cornell, did the zombies get you?
No.
Did the zombies get you? You there, Cornell? Huh?
No, they got me. Trapped.
Yeah, boy. Okay, we'll be over there with the steaks in a minute. But Amanda, go back to what she's absolutely right, Andy. When did you see that, Amanda? And what paper? Like, I'm really going to get it. But you never know. We do get international papers here. So talk with us some more.
I can't state that that's an actual fact because it wasn't in any newspaper that I can recall. I mean, I wasn't really looking at the time. This was a thing that was shared all over social media. It was on a lot of websites, so again, you know, it could be false information, but there was a survey
I listened in public because I did see that. I listened in public. If anybody can email the Andy Kimball Lloyd Booker Show at gmail.com and give us that information when that was posted, because I remember that.
Yeah.
The U.S. government supposedly has contingency plans just in case. You know, like the Purge or what have you. I don't want everybody coming over here now because they got the Purge and zombies over here. We're just saying what came out in the public, on the press, that we are prepared for a zombie influx or something like that. So you never know. I mean, maybe that's why Trump. I'm sorry, say it again.
That is crazy.
I think it was all down to something that was going on in Africa, wasn't it? That there was an illness that was taking over, supposedly affecting individuals over there, that caused them to be in a zombie-like state.
But don't they have a drug? Don't they have some type of drug in the West Coast or East Coast that makes you feel like you're a zombie? I forgot the name.
It's called Hurricane.
Wow.
It's called Hurricane. It's a drink. Yeah. Yeah, they got that stuff out
there. A hard break here again, but before we do, I want to. This is breaking news. This just came in over our wire here that Amazon announced it will hold a career day on September 16th. I remember we had the Fort Myers one week ago talking about jobs and careers. This is kind of interesting, Kirk. Listen up. On September 16th, Amazon is going to hold a career day consisting of a team of 1,000 Amazon recruiters offering 20,000 career coaching positions. According to the Tech Giants press release, the sessions, which I have right here, the sessions are free of charge. Amazon currently has 33,000 job openings for corporate and tech roles and says it will share thousands of additional hourly roles in Amazon's operations network. Soon, all of the new employees...
Hey, that's pretty good.
All the new employees to these roles will be paid at least a minimum wage of $15,000 per hour, with up to 20 years
per hour.
What? How much? An hour?
What?
I'm leaving the show.
$15,000 an hour?
I'm leaving the show.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Me. I heard.
I'm on my way.
First.
I'm gone.
Let's sign up, guys.
I just need
me
to work
first.
For 1 week.
I don't know you, Amanda. I don't know you, Amanda, and I don't know Andy either.
Yeah.
Oh,
my goodness.
Did you read that right, man?
Let me recheck here. Okay, Amazon jobs. It's 20,000 jobs.
You better get that right. I'm talking about the hourly wage.
We paid 15 cents per week. No, I'm sorry. Oh, there it is. I couldn't read.
I quit.
You better stop drinking.
All the new job employees for these roles. Here it is. I got it. I tried to scribble my notes. I couldn't read my writing. I'm sorry. All these new employees for these roles, we paid at least a wage of $15 an hour with 20 years of leave for what? 20 years of leave
for
parents.
You know what?
20 years.
I'm gonna have Ian make a visit to you. You better get over to Uncle White and get something for your memory.
You misplaced your glasses.
Get some of that good stuff for your memory.
Okay, let me read that again, folks.
Here's the fourth time.
Okay, all new employees of Coast to Coast will now receive, no, it's not of Coast to Coast, of Amazon, will now be paid minimum wage $15 per hour with 20, God, how long does it take me to get to this one press release, with 20 weeks of parental leave. The employees who fill the corporate tech role will receive an average pay of $150,000. That's true. I'm not making that up. Including salary, stock-based compensation, and benefits. And Amazon spokesman told Coast to Coast Business hot wire right here. We got that right over the press. This is right off the press release. With many people left.
Well, do me a favor, Andy. Give them a hand clap. Put that crowd noise on there. Give them some props.
Yeah, they deserve that. Absolutely.
Give them the cheer. Put the cheers on there for the people.
Okay.
We can do it manually.
Yes. Whoa. Give it up for the Amazon, baby.
Ooh.
Hey, wait a minute,
what?
Man. I didn't say booze. I said the clap.
Oh, sorry. Trying to find my way around here. Oh, you want audience? Oh, you want hand claps? Okay, I got
it. The audience, yes.
Yeah,
got
not the clap.
Got it.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Here it is.
I know what I'm suffering from.
That's
for
you, Amazon. I don't know nothing about them booze. If you want to cut his stuff off. Not the Lloyd Booker half. I gave you the clap. That's for Amazon in Seattle.
I
he gave you the clap.
I had this
don't
big
be making no
today.
Mistakes like that.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
That's what I'm suffering from. Anyway.
Whoa.
As I was saying.
That coming to beer sounds good.
You up there eating them edibles. That's what it is, them strong edibles.
Those are, I guess, hey, listen, we'll talk after the show. And,
see, there you go.
That book is bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you something. I don't know if anybody has seen any pictures of the San Francisco Bay Area. It looks like Mars. I mean, it is orange. Go Google California's Bay Area photos with the fires. You think you were on the planet Mars. The sky is completely orange.
No. Already seen them.
Already seen them.
I think Trump would blend in well there.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Check out.
Forgive me, guys.
He hit no singles, the doubles, the triples. He hit some grand slam homers. Excuse me. I'm telling you. Listen, don't be getting yourself in with us because we done became targets now. So I don't want you. I don't want you saying nothing, you know, too rough. But check you out. Go ahead with your bad self.
No, bless him. Can I ask something? Is it a fake tan that he actually has, or is that genuinely his skin color?
No, that's a tanning machine. That's the tanning machine. He puts those little covers over his eyes, which is why he feels like a raccoon with the white little patches around his eyes.
Really?
Yeah. Moving right along with our news off the wire here, a former Columbia University gynecologist accused by the wife of former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang. Accused of sexual assault has been indicted.
Hey, hold on. Here you go again. Man, we didn't have rock. Stop with the laughing. I know you. I know you're going. I don't want your glasses fogging up, Amanda. And I don't want Cornell to be. We didn't had on him Ron Jeremy, John Holmes with the porn stars. We done talked about Linda Lovelace and Deep Throat. Oh, our numbers have went up now. They didn't stop real up, way up. And now you're talking about a gynecologist. You did say gynecologist, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He was accused by the wife. Andrew Yang's
accused by
wife,
the wife
of Andrew
of,
Yang
of sexual assault.
Yes. Yeah. He was.
I thought they called that an examination. Now, if he was doing an examination and she was sleep or something, then maybe, you know, that's something else different. But if she was doing an examination, if he was doing an examination and didn't do the right thing, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying, people, then maybe she want to take it out on him and say, you know what, you didn't do it right. I'm going to sue for sexual assault because you didn't do it right. Maybe he should have got back up in there a second time and did it right.
Well, he has several counts he has several counts against him, and each count carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. Acting U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss at a news conference called Hayden a predator in a white coat. Hayden's attorney declined to comment, but the former doctor was to appear before a federal judge later today, which I guess East Coast time that already happened, but I don't have the results of that yet.
What was the doctor's name? The doctor's name wasn't Miles Long or anything like that. Another porn name, was it?
No, it's Hayden. Hayden. He's a former doctor right now. Yeah, they took his doctor's license.
Hey, wait a minute. It sounds like you and I are the only ones on here at the moment, Andy.
Cornell
is busy. I'm
definitely
listening. You busy. I knew it. And Amanda didn't got busy. Her glasses didn't fog up or anything. Anytime you start talking about these type of things, they get busy. All of a sudden, they go silent. I wonder what they're doing. The people are laughing
just,
now. I wonder what they're doing over there.
I'm very intrigued.
Say it again.
I'm very intrigued by all these things, you know?
Y'all intrigued.
I ponder on this.
I'm going to let Andy handle that.
And Lloyd, I'll tell you on the next show.
There you go. There you go. Andy, did they give the type of charges that was levied against this cat, man? You said 10 counts.
Just assault. Assault. We'll follow up on it. This isn't new. We've heard about these type of assaults. Even the former physician at USC was charged, was fired and charged with assaulting students, you know, doing medical examinations of students.
Wait a minute, Andy.
He was fading away.
I'm sorry.
Right,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to say the same thing.
A USC physician, former USC, University of Southern California physician, was charged with abuse as well, multiple counts for years ongoingly, and he was dismissed and charged as well. And also you mentioned Ron Jeremy. He was banned from the AVN Adult Entertainment Expo Convention after his allegations. I don't know if I
you mean
Dallin,
I mean, a legend. I mean, isn't that funny? He must have done something crazy. A porn legend was banned, and of all places, Sin City, which is Las Vegas, from the Adult Video Music Awards.
Yes.
How old is he now? 67. I mean, shouldn't he want to just chill out now and, you know, collect his retirement?
You would think.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, for those of us, if we remember, what's his name, Playboy. You know what I'm talking about. Always walked around as old as he was.
Yeah,
you're
talking about Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner.
Yeah,
remember
Hefner.
Say it again.
Me and Hugh Hefner have the same birthday.
And that's about the only thing that you two share together. Yeah, you heard me say that.
Of course.
And Amanda, you heard. Amanda, do you know who Hugh Hefner is? I'm sorry, or was?
Of course, darling, yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Can you imagine that Cornell saying something like that right now? Hey, me and Hefner shared the same birthday. Well, my point for bringing that up is that with the type of stuff that Hefner supposedly did, and Cornell said, why don't Ron Jeremy just cool out? Listen, Hefner was going around even to the day that he passed away. Matter of fact, on his deathbed, he was surrounded, and I'm not making this up, he was surrounded by all of the women, including one of his wife that happened. I think she happened to be one of the Playboy bunnies. So he died with a smile on his face. But I really would like to know why they banned a porn legend from their own, because I think that one of the awards is named after him.
Really?
I'm not joking. Yeah, no, I'm not joking. I think so. One of the awards is named after him.
Okay.
And he must have really did something bad.
Right.
Well, maybe he couldn't get up.
I heard you in the back laughing at that one.
I'm going to refrain from comment on that one.
Now, see, Andy done went silent. Andy probably got a call from his wife saying, I thought you was going to stop with them porn things going on in the gynecologist.
I think he's mingling with the guys on the press.
Maybe we'll get a news flash as to why he, or maybe he might come out and have a press conference as to why he was banned from the bit. Maybe it's because he was hanging with Trump, and Trump told him that he was in love with Kim Jong Il, and he told Trump that he wanted to play him in the movie, you know, entitled Hump with Trump or something like that. I don't know, you know.
I don't know, but he was indicted for several counts of assault, and we talked about that in our previous show. I don't have that clip in front of me here, but anyway, we'll follow that story because he is somewhat of a popular name to many. He's also not just a porn video, he's a B-type.
Wait a minute, Andy, you're going out again. Andy, come back.
I'm here. Yeah, you hear me now? Better?
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yes.
Good. I
yes,
want to make.
Need,
yeah. I can hear you.
Okay. Anyway, so where are we here? We're following up with some more interesting stories that we need to discuss.
Andy.
Hello.
Andy.
He went.
Yes.
He went out. He must have went
I'm
out
here.
Again.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we can hear you now. You know, I want to say one thing, and this is no joke. If those of you that are talking about he assaulted somebody, you have to imagine this. How many of you remember Blazing Saddles? You know, with Mel
yeah.
Brooks, Richard Pryor wrote the script, Cleavon
yeah.
Little. Y'all remember Blazing Saddles?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad that you said something, Amanda, because obviously Andy went out again. It looks like it's us again because Andy can't remember that. Well, here's what there was the scene where Cleavon Little, as the black sheriff,
mm-hmm.
came into I forgot what her name is, but she was really good. She was a comedian. She was a friend of Mel Brooks. But in the dark, now you have to imagine this. In the dark, you heard him unzip his pants, and she said, "Oh, it's true what they say about you people." You know, you can get the whole vibe on that. Now,
yeah.
You guys might not be laughing. I think that was damn funny. And that's what was said to me one day with my girlfriend said it.
Oh, really?
Right before we did it. Yes, that's right. Don't be laughing like that. Yes, she did. Yeah, now you can laugh at that. Yeah, yes, she did. She said, at least. We've been and then Cornell and Andy then went out now. Yeah.
No,
yes,
I'm still here.
I'm here.
And when I got, you even chimed in on that. When I got ready to do my thing, she said, "Oh my goodness, what are you playing baseball?" I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know what's happening here, Zach. Yeah. So she did say that. You need to be arrested. Yeah. I'm carrying a lethal weapon. That's exactly what I said. So everybody is hearing. That's right. I said, I'm carrying a lethal weapon. Why do you think they call me John Shaft? That's right. That's what I said. So, oh, Andy laughed at that one. He done woke up now. That's right. And I started singing to it before I started doing my thing. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man? And she jumped out of the bed and said, "Shaft." And I said, "Damn right. Can you dig it? Let's get busy. Listen to y'all.
Hey, Lloyd, I found something. I didn't think this up, and I found it because you had talked earlier in the show, and I wanted to dive into this a little bit further. You talked about the love letters between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. We'll back that up. And Kim Jong-un considered former President Barack Obama an asshole. President Trump actually told Bob Woodward that, touting his own relationship with him.
Wait a minute. You said Kim Jong-il said that about Obama?
Yes, yes. But by contrast,
you know why he
right?
said that.
But listen to this. By contrast, Kim spoke glowingly.
I'm sorry. Kim Jong-il probably walked up. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kim Jong-il probably walked up on Obama and said, "Yo, you look like a good brother. I heard you probably like Sam. You know, like that dude Booker and Uncle Ike." And Obama probably told him, "Yo, if you don't know, you better jump back because I'm about to get black on you." That's what he probably told him. That's why he probably called him an asshole, because he didn't return. Obama didn't return them favor.
You never know. But by contrast, Kim spoke glowingly of Trump in letters between the two leaders. Trump has described repeatedly, like we just said earlier in the show, he describes the correspondence between Kim Jong-un and himself as love letters. Independently obtained. I mean, these people all heard him say that love letter. Kim reportedly wrote in one letter of that moment of history, "When I firmly held Your Excellency's hand at the beautiful and sacred location as the whole world watched with great interest."
Wait,
and
hold it, Andy.
Yes.
Hey, Andy, can you hear? Are you not making this up?
No, I'm not. No.
No, he's not making it up. I'm looking at it myself.
Wow.
You're looking at it too?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We broke some news on here. We might actually have Reuters, and I'm being honest, we might, because I didn't know nothing about this. So you're looking at it too. Amanda, do you see the same thing that they're saying?
I'm not currently looking at it, darling.
Boy, we might be a hit for the wrong reasons. I'll be damned. This is real. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait, it's not much done yet. So Trump went on to tell Woodward that he never smiled before. I'm the only one he smiles with. That's what Trump went on to tell Woodward about Kim Jong-un. Yes, so there you go. I know you spoke about it earlier in the show, so I wanted to follow up and give you a little bit more information there as to what the content of those love letters between the two were. And it looks like they're love letters to me. I would say they're love letters.
You better believe it. If you're saying that, you know what, I'm going to tell some family. This is what you said. Let somebody else talk.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Say it again.
Yep. It's a disaster. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
I can't believe it. I would never have thought this. We'll be talking about this 10 years ago.
You actually. See, this is it. So where do you see it at, Cornell?
Well, I've seen it on the internet.
Wow, and he usually is the one that's always surfing the net and tweeting and all of that stuff. Maybe that's why he didn't want this book to. That could be why he didn't want this book to come out.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not thinking about this until right now. It could be what you know. All of a sudden now, I can see him in the next week or so saying that he loves everybody, including the LGBTQ community.
It's funny because
get on board with Trump. I'm
on
sorry,
the BBC,
what'd you say, Amanda?
On the BBC website news, they said, according to the U.S. media, Mr. Trump told Woodward of his connection with Mr. Kim and quoted, you meet a woman, in 1 second, you know whether or not it's going to happen. It doesn't take you 10 seconds, and it doesn't take you 6 weeks. It's like, whoa, okay, you know, it takes somewhat less than a second.
Oh my! You guys done scooped a lot of y'all don't. Oh my goodness! You have no idea as to. I want to see what our listenership is now. You have no idea, and I'm being honest. What the three of you, and notice I'm excluding myself. What the three of you just found out, and you're talking about it publicly on the air. This is deep. And the BBC got it him and Kim Jong was doing. I don't wonder how many cats was in on this thing. You know, because them Southeast. Listen, I ain't talking about all of my Southeast Asian brothers. You know, because I'm down with them. But I'm wondering if they had like a whole group thing.
Well, you know, interestingly, the BBC haven't referred to them as love letters. I think they've probably been very careful with what they've said.
That's what I've been up. But here you. So what is the BBC? What is the BBC calling them?
It just says in the letters filled with flowery language, Mr. Kim reportedly referred to Mr. Trump as Your Excellency and noted their deep and special friendship will work as a magical force.
You mean to tell me that they somewhere and he told Kim, I'm gonna try to do the best Trump that I can as Kim Jong. When I come out the shower, I don't want you to call me president. When I disrobe, I want you to call me Excellency. Oh my goodness! And y'all laughing. And for anybody that's listening, it was only a joke. It was only a joke.
Absolutely.
But can you imagine them two role playing? One saying Excellency, the other saying Emperor, meaning that's what he wants to be. Yeah. You call me Emperor. You call me Emperor because I'm getting ready to mount you. You call me Emperor. There you go. I'm trying to do my. I'm not being racist. I'm going to make sure that.
I think the show is ended.
We're going to cut off here. This is the after show now. We're actually not broadcasting live, so those of you who are... And actually, I've realized now that many of our listeners, many of you are listening to this still right now because such a large percentage listen to the show as an archived podcast as opposed to listening to it live, which is fine.
That's amazing.
We
do broadcast live daily, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. in California and across the world, whatever your time zone is. Remember, it's 5 o'clock in California. Wherever you are, that's the time it is there. But we do broadcast live, and you're welcome to call in at that time at 515-605-9888. But we're going to head towards the wrap-up of the show now anyway, because we have some other things to do and some more news to catch up on and start prepping for tomorrow's show. And I want to go over this last bit here before we do wrap it up, and that is that that right now, if the election were held today, that Joe Biden would have 263 solid electoral votes. Donald Trump would have 122. You need 270 to win, right? So here's just my analysis of this. Leaning towards Joe Biden, leaning his way, you know, not confirmed yet, but yeah, kind of skewed that way. Pennsylvania would pick up 20 electoral votes. That would make it 283 for Joe Biden. So Minnesota, leaning his way, 10 votes. Wisconsin, especially after what happened in Wisconsin, 10 votes his way. Colorado, 9 votes. Nevada, 6 votes. New Hampshire, 4. Nebraska, 1. Leaning towards Donald Trump is Indiana, Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, Utah, Alaska, and Montana, all small numbers. So if election were held today, Biden only need, Pennsylvania or Wisconsin and Minnesota, very small numbers to put him over the 270 if it were held today. So again, even though that Florida race has tightened up 48% each as we spoke earlier, it looks like things are still very much favoring Joe Biden. Donald Trump's cash reserve for his campaign is about dry. It went to $1 billion since 2019. And Biden has gained $70 million just during the convention alone, and continues to get large contributions from all over the country, from private grassroots contributors as well as some other donations. So Biden's looking good right now, folks. But the Trump base is strong, and they continue to be strong as all this news comes out and all these books come out. It doesn't seem to really waver the Trump base at all. Why, in the psychological reasons why, we might want to get an expert in that field on here down the road to talk about that. What is it about Trump? And it doesn't matter what we say, what he does. If as he said himself, he can shoot somebody in broad daylight on Fifth Avenue and he still have his base. Why? What is it about that? From a psychological standpoint, what is it? And we'll talk about it. We'll try to get round up an expert on the show, and that should be an interesting episode coming up here on the Coast to Coast show.
And if I may, Andy, if I may just cut in and say that, you know, any reference, you know, jokes made about Trump from myself is all taken, you know, as just like humor. I mean, no offense to anybody. So if anybody's a Trump fan and they were listening, if I offended you, I apologize.
I'm saying the same thing.
You know, we present facts here, and we have a lot of fun with the facts. But what we do talk about is what's real. And
yeah,
you know, there are other media sources. There are, you know, Trump has his own news network, which is starting to part ways with him a little bit. The over there on Fox, you know, the Trump News Network there. And they won't talk about the things we talk about, you know. But there are other media forces that will, that they consider to be fake news. Why do they speak the truth? But, oh, it's against Trump. Oh, it can't be real. It's all made up. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. What collusion? Anyway, we're going to talk more about this, of course, and continue to talk more about this up until Election Day. Folks, for Cornell Butler, for Amanda Love.
Lloyd
for
Booker. That's right.
Who?
Who? Al all of a sudden? Lloyd Booker and Amanda. Amanda Love.
I'm just goofing with you, Lloyd, of course. Our my co-host Lloyd Booker on the East Coast. Andy Kimball here in California. We want to wish everybody a great day. We'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Yes.
West Coast time for an abbreviated news update on the Coast to Coast show, the Ebony and Ivory program. I want to thank everybody for chiming in. We've had a fun time. We always do. We welcome your comments.
Absolutely.
AndyandLloydShow@gmail.com. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Still here, right?